We're set.
He's set. All right. He don't like to sit down. He likes to move.
I have to move. I still have ADD, so I'm still a little kid in that respect. I just can't sit still. Would everybody get enough to eat today?
Yes.
No.
Can I come to your house now?
There's plenty over there still. We're going to be looking at a passage in Scripture today from Mark chapter 6. It's called the Feeding of the 5,000. It's probably one of the better known passages or events in Jesus' life. It's easy for us to remember because there's a miracle performed that day in which just a very, very small number of loaves of bread and a couple of fish were changed into many, many, many loaves and many, many fishes so that everybody has something to eat. And we're going to take a look at that passage today. And there's a lot more to it than we see at first glance, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Well, let me read the passage first. It's found in, again, Mark chapter 6, and starting at verse 30 to 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because of so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said. "It's already late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we going to go and spend that much on bread and give them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set them before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten were 5,000. Really an interesting story. I want to go back and start, though, right at the beginning there. Do you recall what the context of this was, what they taught about last week? Remember, the apostles were sent out by Jesus to go by twos throughout the whole land of Israel and teach the people, let the people know that the kingdom of God was here. The kingdom of God was present. Also, at that same point in time, Herod had John the Baptist beheaded because he didn't like what the John the Baptist had told him. Remember, John the Baptist told him that it was wrong for him to take his brother's wife. He didn't like that at all, so he had John put in prison. Then he got kind of manipulated into putting John the Baptist to death. So the disciples are coming back now to Jesus, and they're telling about all the great things that they did when they went out through Israel teaching the people. They cast out demons. They were able to heal people. This must have been a tremendously exciting time for the disciples because they began to see the power of God as it was working in their lives, able to heal people and to teach people and give people hope for the future. So they've come back now all excited. And Jesus says, okay, let's go out to a quiet place now. Go out to a quiet place because there were just so many people around, they didn't have a chance to eat. And I think one of the important things here, at least initially, is the need for rest. They had a need for rest. They didn't even have a chance to eat. So Jesus wanted to take him out to a quiet place. But you'll notice from the story here that the quiet place didn't really turn out to be a very quiet place at all. It was a very, very busy place because the people saw them going out in the middle of the wilderness. Really, there's a word in this passage that's translated differently in three different places. In the first place, it's called a quiet place. Next, it's called kind of a remote place. And finally, it's called a desolate place. The word is actually wilderness in all three cases. And really, that picture of the wilderness is the picture of the world that we live in. Because this story ultimately is not so much about physical food that we eat. It's really much, much more about the hunger that we have for life. My guess is that everybody in this room really is looking for life out there. We've often looked for life in places that we thought were going to really make us satisfied with life, but we found out that it didn't satisfy at all. Matter of fact, it probably sucked life out of us. And we ended up worse off than before. What we're going to see in this passage, that the ultimate satisfaction in life only comes from Jesus. And we have to trust him in that. You might be saying up front, how can trusting in Jesus make me satisfied with life? How can that be? It doesn't make any sense. And it may not make sense up front. But for those of you who have trusted Jesus, I think you're beginning to see that trust in Jesus really starts to make you alive. It starts to satisfy those deep longings that you have in your soul for life. And all of a sudden, life takes on a different perspective. The situation you find yourself in life may not change a whole lot. But what you will find when you trust him is that he will change you and he will make you satisfied. Sometimes he'll change your circumstances as well. But in the end, you will find that you'll be living life far above what you could ever imagine. Far, far above. You'll have purpose in life and you'll be totally content and satisfied with life. You may not know what that's going to look like at all, but it'll be far greater than you can ever imagine. So let's take a look at this and see how he really begins to do this. I'm going to start really with this in verse 32 to 34. Let's take a look at that first. It says, they went away in a boat to a secluded place or a wilderness by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran together on foot from all the cities to get there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. He looks out on this big crowd, just like in this room, and he says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. What does that mean?
They're lost.
What do you mean they're lost?
Well, without a shepherd, guiding you to the greener pasture. So a shepherd tends his flock, right? And we feel kind of untended. We're kind of lost, in our sins and our transgressions. We can't make choices for ourselves, and we don't have anybody else to rely on.
Good, yes. Yeah. Are you calling us pretty dumb?
Okay.
That's pretty accurate, isn't it? Not me. I'm not.
They're probably looking for a way to get closer to God, and then maybe they found it difficult to go to the temple or what have you. Mm-hmm. And then knowing that Jesus was leading them to God, they wanted to be there and stay there. Mm-hmm. So they followed him because he was the way to God.
Okay. I think there was someone there that did that. They're looking for the way to God.
And we're feeling led.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you ever watched sheep? Have you ever seen sheep out in a pasture area? Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of sheep around here. I was down in New Zealand a number of years ago, and there are more sheep than people in New Zealand, at least in the southern part of it. And they're really looking for one thing. They're looking for something to eat all the time. But they're not very bright, as you mentioned. They're kind of dumb. And their eyesight isn't very good. And they're just kind of wandering around looking for something to nibble on to eat all the time. And oftentimes they'll get off into bad places and not even know it. And then they don't know what to do. They really don't know what to do at all. But that's the picture of us. We're looking for something to eat all the time, not necessarily something physical to eat. Most of us don't need more physical stuff to eat right now. We've had plenty. But we're looking for that satisfaction in life. We know that there's something out there that can really satisfy us. We think maybe it's a job. You know, if I get that right job that's good paying, then I'll be able to live life the way I really think I should, the way I really deserve to. Or maybe it's having that right relationship. You know, if I find the right lady or the right guy, then my life will be exactly the way I want it. Maybe it's getting the right truck. Or maybe not. Mark?
Have a tendency of walking off from the flock, and the shepherd, if he keeps walking off, will actually break that lamb's leg and hold that lamb around its neck until that lamb's leg will heal, and then it will walk. And as soon as he sets that little lamb down, that little lamb follows that shepherd wherever he goes because he's healed. He was broken and he healed.
That's a pretty picture, isn't it?
Yes.
Except I don't like to have my legs broken. that doesn't work too well.
The broken part of it, but that's what the shepherds do, because they run off.
That mean?
Yes, sir.
And they also need him a good dog. Helps quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dogs help. Yeah. Sure. Rick?
Yeah, the shepherd also protects the sheep. Mm-hmm. And just as Jesus protects us from sin,
or
gives us power to resist sin.
Mm-hmm. So we have a good picture there of the protective aspects of the shepherd as well. So Jesus looks out on this whole big crowd and says, this crowd is like a bunch of sheep without a shepherd. And as I mentioned, that's a good picture of who we are. We're really sheep without a shepherd. We think we know what we're doing. We think we're in charge. We think we understand what we need. But I think experience has told us we don't really understand very well at all. And we really don't know how to get what we're looking for, or even what we think we're looking for. So this is a starting point, I think, for the crowd. Why do you think that the crowd went out and followed him out into the wilderness? I mean, would you walk several miles out into the desert to hear some guy talk?
Well, don't we have to go back before that? He was healing and he was doing all this, and they kind of followed him out.
Why would they do that, though?
Yeah. something from him. That's what most people do.
Mm-hmm. To hear the teaching, he was teaching through. He was having to tell parables and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they have questions. And Lord, you know, what do we do in this situation? Spiritual daily bread.
So he had maybe something good to say. Maybe they needed some healing, and he was doing that. In some of the other passages, it does say that he healed people out there. Yes, sir.
I think they probably followed him because he thought he was different. You know, I mean, he more or less, he wasn't the perpetrator. And you can see the difference between maybe his way of doing things and the church's way of doing things.
Yeah, when the Pharisees and then the leaders sent some guards out to arrest him earlier. They came back and they didn't arrest him. They said, nobody speaks like this guy. He speaks like one having authority. I imagine, too, that many just went out there to see what kind of miracle he was going to do. Looking for, wow, this guy does things, great, miraculous things. I want to go out and see that. Maybe he'll give me his autograph or take my picture with him or something like that. You're sure, just curious. You don't see people like that. So the question for us, I think, beginning there, why are you here? Why are you here?
For guidance. Why am I here, or why were they there?
Why are you here?
Oh, I know the reason I'm
here. Why are you here?
Here
today, why do you come to step closer?
Okay, I
certainly you don't come to listen to me talk.
Oh, yes, I
you, if you knew I was going to talk, you probably wouldn't be here this morning. But this is a very, very important thing for you to think about. Why are you here? So you see a need in yourself that isn't satisfied other places. Ed, you're going to?
I was answering your question.
Sure.
I'm here because I want life.
They want life.
And Jesus gives me life through his written word, through the truth of the scriptures. And there's really no other place to go for that.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Anybody else experience that? My way wasn't worth it. Yeah. My way wasn't worth it. Yes, sir. Marta? That's good, yeah. We're all here. Rick?
I'm here because the joy that the Lord gives me, and also it's a period of renewal for the rest of the week. But I also know, just based on more on Scripture, the real purpose we're here is to worship God, to praise Him.
That's what we... Yeah, we start out with... recognizing, I think a lot of us are here, most of us are here. Maybe initially somebody said, well, you know, they've got food there in the morning and they've got good music and stuff. And yeah, there's a lot of reasons why people show up. Some of them are good reasons, some are not so good, but they show up. And I think what they find, if they're honest, is that they're answers to the deepest of life's issues that can be addressed. Not so much because we're here in this building and there's a lot of people around and it's comfortable. That is part of it. But it's Jesus himself that really begins to satisfy those longings that we have for life, for real life. I think that's what keeps us coming back, because we're fed week after week. We're fed and we need that. So let's see how this works out in this particular episode. From verse 35 and 36. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and is already late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy food for themselves." But Jesus answered them and says, "You give them something to eat." Doesn't that sound kind of weird? I can imagine the disciples sitting there, and Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." "Me? I don't get anything." Yeah, right. "Give them something to eat, sure." Why do you think he asked them to give them something to eat?
He wasn't done with them. He didn't want them to leave.
Didn't want them to leave? Challenge? Okay.
I have
Aaron?
A question, though.
1 second. Aaron?
Well, you know, Christ was doing all these miracles and teaching his disciples, but they still don't quite get it. You know, that Christ is the Son of God, and if he says, "Feed them," they should have the faith that they're in the very presence of God. So he's actually teaching his disciples again.
Okay. He has to do that quite often, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Frank, okay, I'll take your question now.
You said it says here countrysides and village. I thought they all came from one big town.
No, they probably are scattered all over the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There weren't a lot of great big towns in that area. And there are just a lot of little fishing villages and little farm communities, more or less, around the Sea of Galilee there. Yes?
I think alongside with feeding them food, he's also telling the disciples to feed them the word of the Lord.
Okay. We'll get to that, but I don't think we're quite there yet. Yes?
Okay.
I think he was meeting their physical needs so that they could focus on his message.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes it's kind of hard to hear if my stomach's growling so loud. That does make a difference. Yes, Vicki?
I think that strikes me as this is a miracle that happened. And for me, always, it's that it's not the miracle itself. It's that when people see the miracle, they see it becomes a miracle. And people miss miracles all the time.
They really do, don't they? There's a lot of miracles I think we miss because we're not looking. We're not really expecting God to do anything.
Could it be that he was just wondering if they were going to offer, you know, just seeing if they would do it?
Perhaps. Yeah.
Why don't I've done it so much? Why don't you do it this time?
I think the purpose of when Jesus spoke to the 5,000 was to open their eyes, you know, and let their hearts see reality, because it was a new thing.
So I think, too, you know, in thinking really about this question, you give them something to eat. He's really speaking to us in that sense, too. You give them something to eat. These were his disciples. They've been following him a long time. And he knows that he's not going to be with them physically all the time. And he's kind of preparing them so that they can take over. Remember, they've just been out going through Israel teaching. So he's beginning to prepare them ultimately for the mission that he has for them to go out and make disciples. You give them something to eat. And I put myself in that position thinking about that, and I'm thinking, how am I going to do that? I don't have anything. You know, he told them right after that, well, go out and see what you have. Realizing that to feed, you know, 5,000 men plus who knows how many women and children were there, it was going to take a lot of bread, a lot of fish. And I think our first response and the right response is, yeah, Lord, I'd like to do that, but I got nothing. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to feed all these people. I got nothing to work with. I don't know my Bible very well. I don't know what to say. What am I supposed to do? Our first response, really, when we look at our lives and we look at what we've got, is to realize I don't have what it takes. I really don't have what it takes. You've asked me to do something. I don't have what it takes. Now, the other Gospels, or one of the other Gospels, I forget which one it was right now, says that Jesus knew up front what he was going to do. But he needed to have them see that they couldn't do it on their own. They really couldn't do it on their own. So let's see what Jesus does with them. So in asking them to what they had, he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. And when they found out, they said, well, we found 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then he commanded them to sit down by groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. It's interesting here that if you're going to be feeding people, in the sense that we're to feed the masses out there as well, it needs to be somewhat organized. It's not chaos. And I think it's kind of interesting to note the numbers here. They sat down in groups of 50 and 100. That's like this group here. In one sense, I'm kind of like one of those disciples. I got nothing, but Jesus has it all. And he's back in the corner here, breaking bread up, breaking fish up, giving me a basket, and I'm going out amongst you and saying, here, have a piece of bread, have a piece of fish. I've got nothing, but Jesus has it all. He's the one that's feeding us. It's not me. I can't take credit for any of that stuff. He gives me what I need to pass on to you. And he'll give you what you need to pass on to others. Yeah, the food isn't just for me to consume, say, oh, I'm full now, thank you very much, I'm going to go take a nap. I'm being fed so that I can feed others. A lot of the experiences that we have in life really prepare us for what we need to do to help somebody else. It isn't just about the good things or the bad things that happen to me. These things happen to me so that I can relate to somebody else. Maybe a lot of somebody else's. You notice that Jesus, in all the miracles he performed here on the earth, they were all done in relationship with people. And the same thing works for us. You know, we hear it said in recovery quite often, don't isolate. Don't isolate. Well, the same thing is true within the church of God. We were not created to be by ourselves. We were created to be in community with one another and to share our lives with others. That's how the church works, and that's the only way it works. Each one of us has been given gifts, and those gifts are expected by God to be used within the body so that the body works the way it's supposed to.
first miracle where he turned the water into wine and the wedding. Mm-hmm. So that was the wine, and now this time it's bread. But it also shows his power and control over the world.
He has power and control over everything, doesn't he? From that first miracle onward. You know, the picture of wine in Scripture is always a picture of joy.
Yeah.
And he was bringing joy into the world. You know, he tells us don't be filled with wine. He says be filled with the Spirit. And it's ultimately the Spirit that's going to make joy into our lives. But he just wanted to show people right up front that his purpose was to bring joy into our lives. But it's only through him that that can occur. Only through Christ. So Jesus, finding out what they had, after telling them to sit down in groups of 50s and 100, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed God and broke the loaves and kept giving them to the disciples and set them before them, and he divided up the 2 fish among them all. Jesus recognized that it's God the Father that provides him with everything. He took all of his direction when he was here on earth from his Father. That's what good sons did in that culture. Even when they were fully grown, they took direction from their Father. It says in the book of John that the only thing Jesus did when he was here on earth was what he saw the Father doing. And the only things he said was what the Father told him to say. I don't like the people telling me what to do all the time. You know, I like to think that I have some initiative on my own and I can kind of figure out things. But I realize in the issues that are most important to me, which is life itself, I really don't know what I'm doing. And the sooner I figure out that Jesus knows better about what life is about, the more I'm willing to listen to him for my life. That's what he wants from us, really, to depend on him for life. We don't have to figure this out on our own. I don't know about you, but I find it very, very, very tiring to try and pursue life on my own. You know, the TV's on and it's telling me, well, you're not living unless you drink the right kind of beer. You're not living unless you drive the right vehicle. You're not living unless you look the right way. And I keep charging off all these different directions trying to find really what living's all about. And it's exhausting, and I end up empty all the time. Notice in this story that he had them lay down in the green grass. That's a picture of rest. That's a picture of rest that comes from me stopping chasing afterlife and allowing God, through Jesus Christ, to make me alive. It may be, I still might be very, very busy. I may have lots to do and a lot of people in my life, but it's not the same anymore. I'm at rest now because I know where my life comes from. And I found contentment because he's directing my life. I don't have to go out and try and find that anymore. And that used to consume a great, great portion of my time. Yeah, I had to work to make enough money to try and find out where life was coming from. That's exhausting. Now, that's not saying that work is bad, because it's not. But I can't find life that way. Only he can provide me with life. And they were satisfied. Look what it says at the end. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of broken pieces and also fish. There were 5,000 men who ate those loaves and fish. They were all satisfied. Isn't that what you want? You want to be satisfied with life? Satisfaction in life comes when he's directing my life and feeding me. Going back up to the top again, remember, right, from the beginning he said, come away by yourselves to an isolated place and rest a while. For there are many people coming and going that they did not even have time to eat. This to me tells me that I have to keep coming back to Jesus daily. Life is going to get very, very busy. And I'm going to wear out if I don't find time every day to spend with him in a quiet place to be refreshed. That's why he wanted to remove them and get them alone and isolated so he could refresh them with his presence. When I spend time each day with him, he fills me up again. He satisfies me. He redirects my attention back onto him rather than the world that's screaming at me from the outside. And it screams constantly. It's nonstop. And I just can't live with that. I can't be effective in that. I can't hear what he's trying to do in my life unless I spend some time with him. I used to think that was kind of scary. You know, if I were to give my life over to him, that he would send me to Africa and I'd be miserable. But I've learned that wherever he sends me, he's going to go with me and he's going to make me alive and fulfilled. And I want you to feel that same way. You don't have to struggle with life anymore. Let him do that for you. Let him satisfy you. Let him give you purpose. Spend time with him each day. And I know if you do that, you will find the peace and the joy and the contentment that I think I found, and many others around here have found. And if you haven't done that yet, if you haven't given Jesus your life, now's a real good time to do that. You don't have to clean up your act to do that. You just have to start trusting him today. If you need some help in doing that, talk to one of us, Mark, Ed, any of us in here. We'd be more than happy to help you with that. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful example of life that you've shown us. How you're so capable, Lord, of feeding us and making us satisfied. I just pray for us, Lord, that we would be willing to trust you with our lives. For we've been out in that world, Lord, and it's desolate out there, and it just doesn't satisfy. It just sucks life out of me. And I just pray that you will help us, Lord, to be willing to turn our lives over to you and find the satisfaction of life that we're looking for. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.